Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And we've been going on a journey these last few episodes of walking through the book Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life, that I wrote with my wife Janine a few years ago, and just this real sense that now more than ever, it's so important to reconnect with the hopes, the dreams, desires, the things that were that deep down inside us that we were born for. And we've been walking through this process of what is a dream, how to reconnect and start in that process. And today we're going to walk through why be a dreamer, why it's so important. And before we jump into that, I'm actually reading right now a book called Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. And it was a book that Martin Luther King carried around with him and read from in conjunction with the Bible, these two books, the Bible and this book, Jesus and the Disinherited. And I am loving it. And I've just hopped into this one chapter. I'm about just over halfway through, page 44. It talks about fear, deception, and hate, and how you how to unravel that as the life of Jesus is relevant to everybody, not just a superior group of people free from the harshness and difficulties of life, but also for those that are disinherited, those that are in a trapped and controlled environment. I'm going to read you this little bit from, this is page 44 and 45. It says this: the child of the disinherited. So just think in his day, and you could reply that to today or not, black people in America in segregation. But across the world, there are people that are in different levels of being disinherited. They're not stepping into who they are, whether that's a glass ceiling because you're a female, whether that because you're in one particular country and you're new to the country. If you are a person and you're the shy one in your group in class, this you can extrapolate this in so many different ways. I get asked the question, how can we talk about hoping and dreaming in the world when there's so many problems? Here's why. Because you can't afford not to. Listen to this. The child of the disinherited is likely to live a heavy life. A ceiling is placed on his dreaming by the counsel of despair coming from his elders, whom experience has taught to expect little and to hope for less. If, on the other hand, the elders understand in their own experiences and lives the tremendous insight of Jesus, it is possible for them to share their enthusiasm with their children. This is the qualitative overtone springing from the depths of religious insight, and it is contagious. It will put into the hands of the child the key for unlocking the door of his hopes. It must never be forgotten that human beings can be conditioned in favor of the positive as well as the negative. A great and central insurance would cause parents to condition their children to high endeavor and great aspiring, and these in turn will put the child out of the immediate clawing reaches of the tense or sustained negations of his environment. I have seen children grow up without fear, with quiet dignity and such high purpose that the mark which they set for themselves has even been transcended. What's the point? All of this boils down to one thing. Here we reach the high watermark of prophetic religion, and it is of the essence of the religion of Jesus of Nazareth. Of course, God cares for the grass of the field, which lives a day and is no more, or the sparrow that falls unnoticed by the wayside. He also holds the stars in their appointed places, leaves his mark on every living thing, and he cares for me. To be assured of this becomes the answer to the threat of violence, yea, to violence itself. To the degree to which a man knows this, he is unconquerable from within and from without. What's the point? When I know who I am, that my God, my Creator, this Jesus of Nazareth that I follow, that is my identity, my significance, and my belonging is established. Period, then that releases within me the hope that regardless of what I'm facing, regardless of the uncertainty, the difficulty, the challenge, the changing continents, the wildfires, the racial challenges, whatever it is that you may facing, when I know that I know that I know, I've had this understanding, this experience that my identity is rooted and anchored and established in a God who created me, that I am his child, created equal on the face of the earth, that he cares for me in the practical, that releases in me the power, the hope, the vision to dream, because you do in the manner for which you are created, the identity to which your family is established, is the degree to which you'll dream and discover and create and explore. My God created the universe. I'm made in his image. I get to do likewise. I dream. So let's jump to chapter 3 in the book Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life. This is called Why Be a Dreamer. I'm going to read you through this and then give you the activation exercise. So literally, you can go session by session and you better download the activation exercises and do these for them for yourselves. I'd encourage you, grab a copy of the book. You can find it on Amazon. Walk it through, buy one for yourself, buy one for a friend and go through it together. But here is chapter 3. Why be a dreamer? It costs nothing to dream. It costs everything not to. Rodney White, artist. So what's the big deal? Why should I consider being a dreamer? I've been living safely and comfortably for the last decade, doing what I was told, coloring within the lines, turning up for work on time, serving in my area of ministry and doing what I need to do. Why consider anything more? We have found that there are some highly convincing reasons for being a dreamer and living your dreams. But more than that, God had a dream and wrapped your body around it. Lou Engel. God is the greatest dreamer of all, and it is impossible to encounter him without being reminded of who we are, children made in his image. One of the greatest things in life is to become increasingly creative by partnering with God's creative nature and thereby experiencing the joy of his presence. As we live out of that place, we see everything around us become fully alive. You always have a choice, but there is no substitute for choosing life. Graveyards throughout the world are full of buried dreams. So, why be a dreamer? You have a divine mandate. God made each and every person with the potential to positively affect the world. Gifts, skills, passions, and personality combine to uniquely equip you to impact the world around you in a way that no other person can. You have more than just divine authority to pursue your dreams. You have a divine mandate. Divine authority implies you can choose to pursue your dreams and that if you do so, heaven will back you. A divine mandate is more compelling. It implies that all of heaven is pulling on you to pursue your dreams because that is who you were made to be. When you embrace who you were created to become, it is impossible for the people and the planet around you to not be impacted in a significant way. The cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12:1 is cheering each of us on to live out our dreams and become all that we are called to be. When we embrace who we are and begin to live from a place of purpose, then we can have the greatest impact on the people around us and the kingdom of heaven is advanced. All creation is waiting for you. The Holy Spirit spoke through Paul in his letter to the Christians in Rome that all creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God. See Romans 8:18-19. The context of this passage is that the glory of God is revealed in us. When Paul is talking about the glory of God being revealed through the sons of God, he is not talking about the glory of God coming down on us in a cloud, but rather the glory of God would be shown, displayed, and revealed in us. You cannot have the glory of God revealed in you and have people not notice. The earth is waiting for us to reveal who God really is by demonstrating his glory, which is his goodness. The revelation comes as each of us encounter God, discover who we are, and walk into the fullness of our life in him. Our dreams are simply a vehicle for us to tap into who we were designed and fashioned to be. What things are lying dormant in you that God wants to awaken in order to show himself to the world? Jesus made it possible for us to live our lives in the fullness of the glory of God. Life is released all around you. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. See Proverbs 13:12. We have all felt the heart sickness of having a dream that hasn't become a reality. However, God wants us to move into a life of walking in the fulfillment of our dreams. When you and I begin to walk in the things that God made for us, life is released all around us. Is it possible that this is a key to divine health? Recently, I was in a meeting where a speaker asked how many people could think of anyone who was doing what they were made to do. Of the 100 or so people in the meeting, only 2 or 3 individuals could think of someone who was doing what they were born to do. That is tragic. God's desire is for us that we are all doing what we were designed to do, or at the very least, to be intentionally walking towards that. The glory of God is a man fully alive, St. Irenaeus. It is a beautiful thing to see people doing what they were made for. They come to life. There is a sense of fulfillment and joy, and everyone around them knows it. What would churches look like if every believer pursued his or her dreams rather than trying to be a carbon copy of the pastor or the worship leader, where people were encouraged and empowered to fully express themselves? It would be a church that is highly attractive to believer and non-believer alike. Every person, regardless of race or religion, has the desire to be happy, to be fully alive, and to feel significant. What is stopping you from discovering, pursuing your dream, and in doing so, releasing life, hope, and courage to all those around you? Testimony. Created to run. Eric Liddell, 1902 to 1945, was an Olympic gold medalist, Scottish international rugby player, and missionary to China. He said of himself, "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." His athletic life and Olympic pursuit is depicted in the Oscar-winning 1981 film, Chariots of Fire. Eric had a dream to win Olympic gold in his best event, the 100-meter race. Due to Eric's Christian devotion, he refused to run on Sundays. In spite of his dream to win a gold medal, when the 1924 Paris Olympics schedule placed the 100-meter race on a Sunday, Eric withdrew from this event. Instead, a few months before the event, he switched his training to the 400-meter competition, since that event was scheduled on a different day of the week. He was not favored to win this event. When Eric went into the blocks for the start of the 400-meter race, he was handed a slip of paper with a quote from 1 Samuel 2:30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Not only did Eric go down to win gold, he also broke the existing world record. A few days earlier, he had won the Olympic bronze medal for the 200-meter event. "God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure." Eric Liddell. We must dream bigger in order to see global transformation. The earth is our inheritance and we are Christ's inheritance. Any global problem is our problem because we own the planet. So how do we not only solve the problems of the world, but also create an atmosphere on earth that mirrors the splendor of heaven? We need to transform culture on a global scale. We need every person to embrace who or she was made to be and contribute to what he or she carries. Global transformation is entirely possible when we each accept that living a God-given dream is a way to affect our community, our city, our nation, and every nation. What cure to some existing disease is waiting to be unlocked in the person next door? What song that unites a people group is waiting to be written through the life of your classmate? Perhaps you have a dream to influence government or science or the arts. Perhaps your dream is to rid the world of AIDS, poverty, or injustice. Fantastic! The world needs your dream to become a reality in order to change the realm of society that you're called to influence. Become who you're called to be. Live at large and let us all bring about global transformation that sees the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. See Revelation 11:15. Heaven is waiting. God is excited about your dreams. You were his dream from before creation. As our Creator and Father, he is longing to partner with us and release the resources of heaven to help us on our way. All of heaven is waiting. Is it possible that all we need to do is align ourselves with heaven's values, God's purposes and his design, the way he made us, and the things he prepared us for to do? And then we will see significant release of all the resources we need to make it happen. In Habakkuk 2:2, we read, "Write the vision and make it plain, that he may run who reads it." Is it possible that this is not only talking about writing the vision to make it plain for the people on your team, but also for the angelic team that has been assigned to help you fulfill your assignment? Angels are waiting to receive their assignments to help us. It is time for us to start partnering with the heavenly host. We have seen an amazing release of resources as people have written down their dreams and then watched things miraculously fall into place. One man wrote down of his dream to learn Spanish. Within 2 weeks, his landlord arrived on his doorstep and offered him an expensive Spanish learning kit that she had ordered and was unable to return. "Would you like it?" she asked the dreamer. Another person wrote down a specific dream for a rent-free accommodation. Before she even met with her dream coach, she was offered a beautiful place to live for only the cost of utilities. One man wrote down that he wanted permanent rather than occasional temporary employment. Within 24 hours of writing this down, his employer offered him a permanent position with increased hours. Time after time, we've seen things miraculously come together for dreamers just a short time after they wrote a dream list. This does not negate the need for dreamers to take responsibility and actively pursue their dreams. But writing a dream list partners with the desire of heaven to support our endeavors and to actively participate with us. What is heaven waiting for you to say yes to? Dream activation exercise. This dream activation exercise is designed to highlight the unique expression of who you are and what you bring to the earth. The first three steps below help you in the process of discovering who you are. The fourth step below helps capture some of the ingredients that makes you unique. First, we're going to have a look at some of your past successes and how they have something to say about who you are. Ask the Holy Spirit to help and take your time. Just be remembered, you can download this activation exercise from the website. Step one, remembering. Think back over your life up to now. Consider the different stages of childhood, adolescence, early adulthood, and so on. Recall your sport, work, family, or community experiences. For each of these, what was your greatest success, or where did you feel most alive? Think about and then list the ingredients of this event that brought you life. Include such things as individual team success, your talents or gifts that were in operation, and the platform or place where you thrived. Recall the greatest challenges that you have overcome. What were some of the other significant experiences in your life that have helped shape who you are? Step two, unpacking the memories. Many times we will see something in someone else's life that resonates with something in our own. Maybe that is someone you aspire to be like, or you saw them doing something a certain way that triggered a heart response in you to do something similar. Consider the following questions. Thinking back over your list of successes, challenges, and significant moments, ask the Holy Spirit to help you identify any themes or ingredients that are repeated. For example, perhaps you were involved in the student council in the high school and helped build a community center as a young adult. On the surface, these have little in common, but when you look more deeply, it may be that there is a theme of working as a part of a team to achieve something significant. This tells you one aspect of who God made you to be. There will be many clues to the unique person you are and the many experiences that have made up your life. Do not discount periods of time when you were not walking with the Lord, as the gifts and abilities He implanted in you were still in operation during that time. We have met with many people who have discovered, to their amazement, key events that happened in their lives before encountering Christ. These events also provide clues and insights into who God made them to be. This is especially the case with people who become followers of Christ later in life. Step 3. Who inspires you? Many times we see something in someone else's life that resonates with something in our own. People who inspire you carry a key as to who God made you to be. In order to grasp that key, we need to identify the aspect of their life that inspires us. How this works out could look very different through your life, but the ingredients could be similar. Consider the following questions. Who inspires you, past or present? Which aspect of their life resonates within you? How could that be demonstrated through your life? Step 4. Who are you? You are the only one like you that has ever or will ever exist. You are unique. You have unique strengths, experiences, capabilities, and a personality unlike anyone else. So take some time to connect with your Father in heaven and ask yourself in His presence some of the following questions. How are you unique? What is valuable to you? What is beautiful to you? Which situations or circumstances stir you to action or emotion? What are you passionate about? If you could change any one thing in the world, what would it be? How could you play a part in that? Your answers to these questions help highlight the unique expression of who you are and what you bring to the earth. That's the end of chapter 3 for Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life. You can grab a full copy of the book on Kindle or paperback on Amazon. And I will catch up with you again next week.